Well, everything is over. It's all over. Everything is crashing, going down to zero, and we're here to ride the ship down. So here we are, Frugal BC, and coming at you with another live stream. We got Algorand and Hedera news, and you may notice I have my headphones on because I found that I actually speak a lot louder when I have my headphones on. So we're going to be doing that from now on. Good little tip I found, just from analyzing some of my past videos, and the ones that did well, I tended to be doing this. So, lots of stuff for you today, and obviously crypto prices not doing what we'd want, but I'm gonna share some of my moves today, and we'll dive into the crypto news. Chat very, very quiet today. A little surprised about that. But it looks like we got a few people watching, and we are live on YouTube, as you know, also X and Kick. Now we're back, and Twitch. That's right. Finally figured out the whole Kick thing. I don't know what was going on there, but we seem to have it fixed. Everyday Algonaut in the chat saying, GM, what is up, my friend? And if you're just tuning in, go ahead and hit that like button because it helps the channel a lot, helps get views out. So let's hit that like button. As I always say, you don't have to smash it. You can just press it ever so gently, and it works just fine that way too. Appreciate everyone being here. Green Blue Algo in the chat saying, interesting factoid. Price when CZ went to prison was 65,000 to 67,000. He just wanted to experience that run up for himself. Well, could be. And I saw this as a stuff, something like Bitcoin. I see this as a big buying opportunity. So I definitely got a little bit of a sale on some Bitcoin today, and actually bought Sui a little bit too, because Sui is finally quite a bit under my average buy, which it hadn't been for a long time. And Sui had run up to, like, I don't know if it quite got to $5. We'll take a look at that today, but definitely a good mover. So plenty of, that's great. So, lots of stuff to get to today. I think we will get to the prices in a second. And just a reminder, too, we actually broadcast this as a podcast. So, you can get that on the go. You can listen. Just search Frugal BC on any of your podcast apps. Also, you can find me at Frugal BC. At Frugal BC now is my handle. I was shocked that it was available, actually. Because a bunch of people had copied my old handle, which was not, I didn't like saying it because I don't know, it was like more like closer to my real name. And I kind of wanted it to be more branded toward the crypto thing because that's pretty much what I'm using it for. So, and you might notice the title or thumbnail has a slightly different look. And we're going to be doing that too with, we're going to be updating the branding of the site, of the YouTube channel a little bit. Something I'm working through, so we will have that. So just in case you're wondering why it has a different look than it usually does. So why don't we get right into the charts, because it's enough of me yabbering here. Let's take a look. Actually, things are rebounding a little bit, but let's not kid ourselves. Obviously, let me just shut some tabs off here. Just because there's a slight rebound, I mean, Bitcoin is still under 70,000, so I'm actually up a little bit on my buy just earlier, but overall down. Ethereum back over 2,000, and this morning it was well under 2,000, so I had a little bit of a buy there. Oh, I forgot to grab my water. We'll have to grab that in a second. And XRP back over $1.50. That's had a big run. That's actually had a big rebound in the past 24 hours. In fact, why don't we, since we're looking at some rebounds, what's happened in the last day? XDC network with a big rebound, XRP with a big rebound, and Hedera 15% rebound, almost just under. That's pretty impressive. Not the only thing rebounding though. Flare, Decred, Caspa, Morpho, Zcash, VeChain, Aster, Canton up 9%. Never really had much of a crash comparatively. It's actually kind of, well, even on the week, I mean, it kind of went up, went down, but on the week, it's still up 2%. That's crazy. Even Ondo up there. Not Algorand. Algorand's already down. It's up 5%, over 10 cents now. So it was down almost to 9. Skull and Bones Anonymous says Fear Index is at 5. This rebound could be short term. It definitely could be. But what you find is that this, we're at, ex I mean, this is like the lowest I've seen it in a long time. But remember, this was really low even when Bitcoin was kind of shooting off. We saw this. It never really got into greed territory much. I mean, it was surprising because we check it week after week, and it would still be either neutral or slightly fear. It just never seemed to. It was rare to see it in the greed territory, even when only when Bitcoin was like really, really taking off. It was pretty interesting. J Court says grabbed a six-figure baggie of ZBCM on this dip. Some lower XRP. CC holds the 16.8 cent line. She climbs with her burn rate. Have a great weekend, brother. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. And yeah, I've actually been very surprised at Canton, and kind of annoyed that I still can't get it on Coinbase. So I'll have to look for another. I do kind of want to buy into this one because it seems to it's just bucking the market trends. In case you haven't noticed, why don't we look at 7 day? And that belongs to the weekly gains belong to Decred, which the chart makes it look like it almost didn't have a crypto downturn. Beamcoin on here, MYX Finance, Hyperliquid. Hyperliquid just keeps being on this positive list. And you can't really ignore that. Like I said, Canton is very low on this weekly list. There's not a lot on the gainers for the week. Most of them are in the negative on the top 100. Market cap, by the way, I probably should have mentioned that earlier, at 2.37 trillion, which is really low compared to where we were. Let's look at 20. Who really screwed it on the 24 hour? The Nun 69 says Putin must be held accountable for the horrific crash. Yeah, I definitely blame Putin. Why not? Yeah, it's his fault. There's actually a reason. There's actually a more sensible reason why this might have crashed, and we're gonna look at it in a second. I'm just chilling, man. Says, has the fear greed index ever reached 5 before? Well, not for a while. I don't know about. Why don't we just take a look at that? We'll come back to the losers list here. You can see here, as far back as 2023, it has definitely not hit 5. That is one of the lowest we've ever seen. And that's as far back as we can go on the fear greed index. I am sure that there has been other times when it's been that low. I mean, these Bitcoin cycles have been going on for a long time, so entirely possible in earlier seasons we've had this. I mean, you got to remember, Bitcoin might look really volatile, but it's way less volatile than it used to be. Anyway, yes, on this 24-hour loser list, which is not many right now, is the Trump coin. this is a funny one. Let's look at this Trump coin because this is what it's been doing. Skull and Bones says 2020. You're probably right. Not sure why we can't go back further. Yeah, this is the Trump coin chart, and I know we're like cut off a little bit. I'll just move it for a second. You can see how badly that has just crashed. Meme coins, these meme coins are just never a good idea. People are already front running these, so they're extremely sophisticated. The idea that you're going to be successful on some of these is pretty unlikely, I'll say, especially something like that. It obviously went to insiders. Cold Snipe NG says, "What makes this cycle hard is altcoins didn't follow the Bitcoin movement. They did not. We had a mini pump up in November, December of 2024. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but it was actually more than a year ago now. And I think a lot of people thought that was maybe the start of the alt season, and then it just petered out, and that was that. So." By the way, people told me I was an idiot for taking profits back then. So many times I got called an idiot on this channel, on X, People said I was an idiot. Dude, you guys, when you guys are up, you got to lock in profits. If you're not locking in profits on some of these altcoins, and it's different with Bitcoin. You can make that choice, but just don't, when you're up on some of these altcoins, you got to take profits. Look at Solana here, by the way. Now, I took profits in the $200 range. Now it's down to 86, still above my average buy. And I was buying Solana when it was $20, by the way. And by the way, not a big fan of a Solana tech. I tried pump.fun and I thought it sucked. You notice that most altcoin stopped pumping when January 2024, 2025, he corrects himself. Yeah, in January, it just shut off. So I some of it, I think, was this reaction to Trump taking office and this idea, or being elected, I guess, not taking office yet. Kind of a buy the rumor, sell the news kind of a thing, wasn't it? Because, you know, he was elected, and I think everyone thought this pro-crypto regime would come in and it would pump crypto prices. And, well, the first part of that is right. You know, crypto prices did pump like crazy. I totally brain farted there. YCat's in the chat saying hello. Obviously, my loveliest viewer. And anyway, what I was saying is, we definitely got the pro crypto part. We did not get the pumping as quite as much. We did have Bitcoin over 100,000 though. That was, you know, that was a pretty big deal, I think. Actually got up to what, 125? So you can't hate on that, but I'll tell you what, you got to start locking profits in. My portfolio is still very much in the black. And it will be in the black now because I took enough profit. It'll be in the black. It could all go to zero and I would have still made a profit. Not very much, but. So as it stands, I'm still up, what, 70 some percent? But I was up over 100%. So yeah, it sucks to see it go down. On the loser list for 7 day is Monero, followed by Optimism and Solana, which probably, I think for a lot of people, that's probably a buying opportunity. For me, it's still a little bit over my average buy. So we'll see. Story IP. Now that one that's been pumping a lot lately. Okay, B on there, Gate Token, Ethereum down 25%. Like I said, this was under 2,000 just this morning. Zcash, which had a surprise run, now at negative 25%. World Liberty down, Arbitrum, Pudgy Penguins, Pump.Fun. Boy, I was so pissed at Pump.Fun. I thought I had a little strategy on there, and it turns out like if you can't play around with small amounts on there because the fees will just eat it up and they're completely untransparent. You have no idea that the fees are crushing you like they are. I think that's bad. Let's see. Let me look at trending for a second. I just want to see what is up. Bitcoin itself on here, the Decred. Yeah, like we mentioned that. Been around for 9 years and suddenly just popped into the top 100. Tran Chess, which is labeled chess, that's interesting. That's on there, down 64% on the 24-hour. Don't know anything about that one. Something called Warden, I assume that has nothing to do with Algorand CEO Stacey Warden, although it'd be funny if it did. Falcon Finance on here, just a bunch of new ones I haven't really... It's kind of interesting to see just kind of what's on the... Chainlink actually on here on the trending. That's a really low chain link. That's not a bad buy for chain link. There's probably a lot of opportunities, even though we're pumping up, like setting up for the next cycle, should we have one. And I don't think the cycles are going to look exactly the same. So it might be a little more spot heavy than it has been in the past. Well, why don't we get over to Algorand? And we're going to turn to our sponsor, Haystack. So you can get I got a link in the chat for you if you'd like to check out Haystack. It's a really cool trading platform. They make it so easy to use on mobile. And they have a new auto yield feature. So if you have assets that are just sitting idle, they'll automatically put them in yield and start earning for you. So I think that's really cool. It's one of the reasons I like these guys. And they were sponsors back when they were mostly just doing non-fungible domains, which is also great if you want a .algo address just to make doing everything in Algorand so much easier. But definitely check them out. I'm a big fan of them. And you can get the link right in my description. Anyway, let's look. We got some recovery going on the various Algorand assets here. As you can see, the weekly kind of reflecting that huge pump down that we had. But now, this is looking a lot better on the 24-hour. We got Alpha Arcade still under 2 cents, but working its way back up. Haystack pumping up a little bit in the last hour. Pokegold's doing well. 12% recovery for Folks Finance, which had been, remember, this has been in the $20 range at some point. In fact, I think it got higher than that. We can look really quick here. Let me see here. Yeah, kind of flashed up to 48, but actually more like $43 is like kind of where the candle sat. Moving back down, not really any double digits. Green Blue Echo says 50. Yeah, kind of flashed up to close to 50. I like to see solid candles. I think that's just a more, unless you have limit orders, like no one's going to sell at that price. You're just not going to catch it. So I tend to focus more on solid candles than flashes. But we can mention both of them. Yeah, really, not a lot of outliers. Just everything's kind of up 8% in the last day. So I thought that was interesting to look at. Actually, Tiny is up. Tiny is up almost 10% too. That's nice. That's still really low compared to greater what it was before. I still have a bunch of staked Tiny that I got for free that I've just been every once in a while I pull out and then I, you know, lock it in. So that's just like free money, although it's not a ton of money. I could probably start putting it back in, whatever. Why don't we see what's up with... Now, I use SaucerSwap for this, not a sponsor on to look at our Hedera coins, but it'd be nice if they were, right? And this Hedera tokens really recovering in the 24 hours. Obviously, probably sparked by Hedera itself, up 15%. Like we said, it was one of the 24-hour top gainers on the CoinMarketCap 100, top 100 on the CoinMarketCap charts. We got Sauce itself going up 14%, HBARX at 15%. Let's see, I'm going to skip the wrapped ones. Bonzo, 15% up. Dovu, 16% up. And then BSL, 21% up. We got some huge ones here, guys. Exos 14, almost 15. Pack just under 14% up. This Gib one, I remember that crashed a lot. 24% up, which is crazy. Just about everything is in the double digits. This is wild. Green Blue Algo says Bitcoin just hit back up at 70,000. 60 some range was looking like a nice little buy right now. I still think it will be long term. I mean, I even think like 70s and 80s is going to be good long term. You know, I just buy dips. That's what I do on Bitcoin now. Yeah, this is looking really great. 15% for KBL. By the way, you know, sometimes I'm tempted to buy Hedera, but I'm still up. I'm still over my average buy by quite a bit. So less than 2x, so they'll probably popped up. What is it now? Yeah, still not quite 2x, but it looks like it's on its way there. Let's see. What else is like really taking off? Look at this. Shark coin is up almost 34%. Mouth, almost 27%. LCX, 17%. MFM, almost 16%. GC, Hashtree. Look at Jam, 23%. This is wild. You're not really missing something on the other side, by the way. It's just a little mini buy button. That's crazy. X pack at 18%. Yeah, so there's a lot. I mean, pretty much everything on Hedera is really pumping quite a bit more than the Algorand tokens. I think that's kind of interesting. So, Well, I guess we can get to our segments. Let me pop back over here and Obviously, we'll head over to X to do that. Got a few different new names in the chat, which is nice to see. And do let me know. Like I said, I'm working on the new rebrand. So let me know what you think about the look of it. And we've got quite a few viewers. If you haven't already hit the like button, I would love it if you'd hit the like button, by the way. I appreciate that. Helps grow the channel, helps other people see it. Really want to try to spread this live stream around, get a real active chat. It's really fun. And if you're watching on X or Kick or Twitch, give us a chat there because we just never see. Oh, we did. Got a little face. It says try hard. I don't know what that means, but got a reaction on Twitch. It's probably the first time that's ever happened. And we got a little kitty from Squillium the First. So appreciate you chiming in. I'll keep the multi-chat view open so I can see those more readily. I'm just going to pull up my Twitch really quick and then we can get to, I just want to see like what's going on there. People are watching. I think it's interesting. Yeah, so like I said, either Twitch or Kick or X. It's the snail. Snail's watching on Twitch. Appreciate you. Appreciate you being in the chat and giving us a view there. I'm gonna check Kick really quick to see how that's doing. And while I'm doing that, just a reminder that we also have a podcast, so you can watch us. You can listen on the go on Spotify or on. You can watch us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or pretty much wherever. I use the Overcast one, and that one works pretty well for me too. So, well, that's about that. Why don't we set up our next segment here? Just take me a second. All right, we are going to go next to our Algorand segment, and I've got a lot of cool stuff coming up, a lot of interesting Algorand news, some updates on the Compex situation, but first I'm going to go to this new kit that's like AlgoKit, but it's designed for AI agents. I don't know if you guys are paying attention to the whole AI agent thing, but I think it's pretty interesting. A lot of people using ClaudeBot, which changed to MoltBot, which changed to OpenClaw, and I'm really excited about it, and I'm scared to death of it, if I'm being honest. It looks, it's pretty intimidating. Actually, you know, I bit the bullet and kind of tried to install it last night, and then something didn't go right, and I kind of chickened out and said, okay, I'm not going to do it. So let me know in the chat, by the way, if you guys are using these AI agents, but let's see what just got built on Algorand around AI agents. And it's not from Glow Plausible, which I've been a big fan of, and definitely appreciate their work, but I think this is pretty interesting. Yeah, that's right. This is right from Gabe.algo says, a few days ago, Algo devs dropped agent skills to help AI write Algorand code. So agent skills, they're things that you can, they're already pre-designed skills you can give to your agents. I'm not going to pretend I understand. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around these agents and how they work and how to be safe with them, which I think some of it, honestly, it's still a little bit of a Wild West right now. And he says, so I've been thinking, what would a truly purpose-built agentic dev stack look like? One designed for build, deploy, test, debug, loop, deeply integrated with the agent, easy to set up and secure by default. So I built VibeKit, the agentic stack for Algorand builders. Run VibeKit in it, and it sets up your coding agent with a full stack, 12 plus Algorand agent skills, documentation MCPs, development MCPs, agent first wallet providers. Your agent can now write contracts in TypeScript or Python, deploy them on a localnet, testnet, or mainnet, create assets, call methods, query state, and search the indexer. I'm telling you, with this vibe coding stuff and now with VibeKit, you're going to be able to do all kinds of stuff in Algorand without being a super smart dev. Although I'd be careful with this because, you know, even people who are like really, really good at this stuff, they make mistakes, and we'll get to that in our next segment. I think that's a good example of that. I think you want to be really careful using this in general, and I think you really want to be careful using this on the blockchain. But let's see what else he has to say. I've been building and testing dApps without leaving the conversation. Create a marketplace dApp, done. Deploy this to LocalNet, done. Create a test ASA and transfer it, done. Why did that transaction fail? Pulls indexer logs and explains. It's powerful, accessible, and most importantly, a fun developer experience. The key thing is that your private keys never touch the AI. I built a first-class wallet provider that works locally on your machine, leveraging your OS keyring to manage accounts and handle signing. The AI requests transactions, the provider signs, AI never sees the keys. Lastly, VibeKit does not box you in. It's designed to work with your existing tools like Cloud Code, Cursor, or Open Code. It also leverages our growing ecosystem of agentic tooling, Go Plausibles, MCP is already integrated, more will come. So yeah, he's got a little Discord channel if you want to check that out. It's actually an agentic dev channel in Discord to talk about all this. I think this stuff is fascinating. Like I said, it's just a little above my pay grade right now, but I'm definitely looking into this because I think there's some really awesome use cases that you can have with some of this stuff. All right, this next one, I'm going to start. Wait, shoot, I can't do that. I really wanted to open it in a new tab. Okay. So Compex Lab released this. As you know, Compex had experienced a hack. Some people said it was actually an insult to call it a hack because they felt it was very neglectful the way that they went about this, that it should have happened. But nevertheless, I still think it's a hack. You know, just like if you leave your car door open and someone steals something, well, you know, that's still theft, even if like maybe you should have locked your car door, right? So let's go to this. They kind of talked about how Compex is going forward. And let's just talk about what's up, what's out, because they decided to pare down. The overwhelming feedback has been to run leaner, pull products, and focus on what works. Our initial 2026 roadmap, had a lot of new apps, new builds, and some may consider distractions. I can understand a lot of these comments. I still believe in the roadmap at this point, but we are right where we are right now. We need to take a step back and make some conscious decisions about what we focus on. By the way, I guess I'll give this comment after, but wait till you see the roadmap. When you see the roadmap of all the things they were doing, it's like, yeah, maybe you're overextending yourself a little bit here. So they're getting rid of Compex Rewards. I didn't really do much about this. They're getting rid of XUSD. By the way, it was a total... Following Friday's exploit, XUSD ended up at a lot of new low... had a new low of around 10 cents, now sits around 4 cents. In fact, I kind of want to see, hold on. I'm going to pull it up on here because I have it really quick here. XUSD. It's under 4 cents right now. There's still a TVO. Yeah, this is what we're talking about. Wow. This is ridiculous. I mean, we went from so just to be clear, this thing was never a dollar. A stable coin is supposed to be a dollar, and this one just completely depegged. It's got a market cap of about $692 right now, but mostly that's because it's not a dollar. It's like I said, it's sitting at under 4 cents right now. So I ran an experiment where I was in the XUSD USDC pool because the rewards were pretty good. But the problem is I would lose because the price kept going of XUSD went down. It popped back up right when I ended my experiment. So I came out in the positive, but boy, this is really a disaster. So that's what happened when the hack happened. I got a question about who is funding them and how many devs do they have? Well, I know they definitely don't have as many devs as they would need to do all the stuff they're trying to do. Maybe we can look into that in a second. XNFT is going to be gone. Token Streams, Waypoint, Canix, Cairn, Haven, Assembly, Algo Staking, Core Token Staking, the ecosystem. Well, I guess that's... I think that's it. I think that's all the stuff they're getting rid of. That's just way too much stuff. Here's the thing in crypto. Here's the thing. You are already fighting a battle. If you have a crypto company, and especially one built on a chain the size of Algorand, which doesn't have nearly the, you know, nearly the reach that something like Solana has or Ethereum, you're already fighting an uphill battle. So how do you, and then even amongst that, you've got tons of other projects. People are starting these projects all the time. Your main challenge as a business is to stand out and have differentiation. That's your thing. It's like nobody's going around go, gosh, I wish there was another platform to do stuff on Algorand. I mean, maybe there are, but most people already have a number of platforms they're using. So if you're going to compete, you have to compete by differentiating yourself. So you probably need like one or two things. You need to do those really well and differently than anybody else. And then you might have some success. And even then, I still think it's a challenge. I think it's always going to be a challenge. So they're talking about the ecosystem plan, our grand vision for an ecosystem of connected apps doing one thing really well and each playing other off each other. I still think it has legs, however, where we are now and with everything that's happening, I think we need to focus on one platform only. Yeah, I think it's trying too many things way too early. Find one thing that has some kind of product market fit, and then you can expand out from there. Even then, I think just find things that actually works. Let's see, auto compounding farms, the original complex feature, where the name comes from, and it continues to run. The farms are a little clunky. The funding mechanism required makes it a UX minefield. And having reliance directly on pack farms only means that the farms have limited scope. Yeah, I 100% agree. Okay, the interface to interact with farms will remain available until the end of March. Catlin in the chat saying good morning. And Squid said he hoped everyone has a great weekend. Appreciate that. So this is one thing I found in my experiment. I hated that I had to go to Pact. I don't like the way Pact has their farm set up. They've been around for a really long time, and they still don't have like the well, first off, there's no auto compound, which is annoying. But even worse, they don't have like an auto match. So, you know, normally most of these pools now, they have it where if you're going to create a pool between two tokens, you enter one and then you can auto match it the other one instead of trying to like get the amounts almost exact, which is impossible. It's just bad UI. At this point, there's no excuse for it. The technology is out there. There's just no excuse to have those kinds of terrible UI like that. So it drives me nuts. Let's see. What we're keeping but may modify is lending, permissionless staking, governance, rewards for NFT holders, repayments, and repayments for affected depositors. Here's the thing. There's already platforms doing all of these. There's already staking. There's already lending. And governance, I'll be honest, I don't care about governance. I just don't care about it. I don't run a crypto platform. What do I want to... I don't care about like voting on stuff on your platform. I know this is like... this is like super anti-crypto or whatever. I just don't care. I don't find it interesting. So what will the future look like on one site, compex.io? It's where everything will live. Well, it always should have been like that. Frankly, it just always should have been like that. Because like getting the word out is so hard. You need one or two things, which I think they kind of did. I just wish they had picked something that was a little more differentiated. That's my thought, but... we learned a lot from building the other apps, especially in the UI UX department. This is what always been one of my complaints in crypto, by the way. So expect the new site to feel responsive, fast, and easy to use. The color scheme will also be changing to signal a brand new direction. I think it's time we get away from the purple. I always see like, I mean, their logo didn't even have purple. That's something I'm working on. The branding is something I'm working on too. Anyway, let's keep going here. So I thought this was really cool. 2025 was a huge year for HesabPay on Algorand. Continued growth in Afghanistan to expand into Syria. Syria adoption is accelerating. Payments on Algorand are helping to support financial infrastructure at a national scale. This is what real world blockchain adoption looks like. And yeah, you can see $61 million in electric bills paid in Afghanistan through Hesab Pay, which is built on the Algorand blockchain. $300 million to aid recipients, distributed to 130,000 families, 300,000 transactions in peer-to-peer, that's 20 million total, $4 million of airtime, $15 million in just straight-up transactions, and even $2 million at the post office, allowing people who are unbanked to make payments and do things. This is what this is the promise of crypto. Actually got written about in the New York Times, by the way, recently. And I think we kind of talked about that on an earlier stream. I thought that was pretty cool. But this is one of the success stories in Algorand. Now, I get frustrated because, whenever I talk about the structural things that Algorand is doing, that I think it's very good at and that it's having some success at, people call me a shill and say I'm getting paid by the Algorand Foundation, which, by the way, they don't have, no one's paying me anything. I made some videos for them a little while back, and that's about it, which I disclosed on the channel. Yeah, they paid me some for that, but otherwise, yeah, I don't have any ongoing relationship with them, and I just think good stuff is good stuff. But then, if I talk about how the prices action isn't good and you should be concerned about that, then people get mad, so... And people say I'm a fudster, so whatever. I think it's good to look up this stuff objectively, and that means the good and the bad. And by the way, speaking of Compex, they're actually winding down the Compex initiative, which means the Ready Pool is closing and their perpetual wealth fund is closing. They're unwinding that. They got so many things that I didn't even know about. This is probably the biggest thing with Compex is like, it's like, what are you doing? What are you actually doing? People need to be able to say right away, oh, this is the blah, blah, blah platform. I really think the big thing for crypto projects is to distinguish themselves and to differentiate themselves from their competitors and have something that they do. Like Alpha Arcade is a really good example. There's no other prediction market on Algorand. Now there's other prediction markets, but the joy of having it on Algorand is everything is transparent, it's easy, etc. Now, they just announced that you can easily create your own markets on Alpha Arcade, launch a market in minutes, earn 40% of the USDC trading fees, create a market, go viral, earn cash. Now, this is really, really cool, by the way. I will say I tried to create one. I paid there's a 2 Algorand fee. And then I think a $10 USDC way to kind of seed the pool, and then you actually get if there's trades on it, you get some of a cut of the trades, which is pretty cool, pretty nice cut actually, 40%. So that's kind of neat if it gets a lot of attention. So I actually created one, and then it got stuck after I paid the 2 algos. So they got 2 algo out of me, and it got stuck. One of the things that came up for signing on Para, and I tried to sign it, and it just got stuck on that. So I tried to refresh it, and of course, everything was gone. Didn't have any kind of autosave on it. And, so I'll probably try it again later, because I do think that's kind of cool. So you can see if there's about 12,000, you can make $49. I mean, that's not nothing. So I don't know. I still think that's pretty cool. I think we already talked about that. So I think that is all our Algorand. So not a ton of news necessarily, but I did think some of these things they took a little longer to explain. So I thought they were important to talk about. Everyday Algonaut says, I think Algorand Foundation should give you at least some funds, but everything should be transparent. I would like to know which YouTubers gets how much money, for example. I don't want them to just give me money, but I did make some videos for them. So what happened basically, I did 3 videos for them, and I did 3 videos for the foundation, and they offered to extend my contract and do more videos. And I said, okay, well, I have this idea or that idea, or, you know, what else, if you have any ideas. And then I stopped hearing from them, basically. And it was kind of weird. And then I actually reached out to my contact there. Well, I reached out to Michael Jordan because I hadn't heard from my contact, and they got back to me and said they were just busy with Algoland, and then that was kind of it. So I don't know. It's weird. Mass Mage says, what do you think about Algorand hitting a new all-time low? Why don't we go back? I want to look at, I'm going to pull up Vestige, actually. I'm going to pull up Vestige just because I like to do the chart analysis. By the way, this bounce back isn't really a surprise, and I'm going to show you why. So to do this, we're going to look at RSI, and we're going to look at the Bollinger Band. And yeah, as you can see, we were massively oversold. That didn't really help us a ton. We were actually way oversold back in the end of January, and we went up a little bit, but not a lot. But this was a more V-shaped correction here. Way low in the RSI. By the way, if you're doing short-term trading, these are good things to look for, especially in a bull market or a sideways trading. Right now, we're kind of in a downtrend. I don't know if I would do this. It gets way more risky. But it's also information, and as you can see, that we're on the four-hour chart. RSI got way down. Whenever you're below this purple zone, you know, below 30. That's usually a good indicator that you've kind of bottomed out. That means you're way oversold, way too many people sold. And by the way, the whole market was like this. So that's the way it is. So Everyday Algonaut says, when you are streaming, well, let me address this. So how far do we get? We got about 8 cents. We actually flashed. I know, again, I kind of talked about flashes. I don't really count them. But we did flash down to 8.66 cents. I don't think that's the lowest we've been, however. Let's see. It's probably going to take a really long time if we do it this way. But now here we were at 10 cents, but we've been at 8 cents before. And it wasn't all that long ago. What did we get down? We're at 15. This is going to take a really long time. It's crazy to think how much higher we used to be. This is probably not the most efficient way to do this. Captain Striker says, Bull Trap Algo has fared better than many other chains the past month. Well, we can talk about that too. Like I said, it's always in the... I kind of said this at the beginning of the hour, but it's always in the, it's never in the top gainers, almost, or I shouldn't say never, but almost never. But it's also rarely in the top losers. It's always in the in-between zone. Is that as far as back as it goes? Okay, we got to go to coin. Hold on. Everyday Algonaut says Vestige has wrong data. Well, we're going to go to, we're on CoinMarketCap now, so. While we're loading, Everyday Algonaut says, when you're streaming, we're working and work should be paid. Well, I'm getting paid through YouTube. I'm getting paid by my viewers. Let's see. Just saw 896. So actually, that might be the lowest we've had it. When was that, 2023? Yeah, I wish I could go back like only 3 years and zoom out a little. We can go to TradingView. That might help. Probably not. Yeah, that's not precise enough. 1 week might be a little much. That's not bad. I would say I'd say we're pretty close. We're pretty close to where we were. So We've been in the 8 to 9 cent range before. That I remembered. I remember just from, you know, having covered it for so long. So, yeah, not great. What do you think about it? Well, you know, I guess I've told you guys this all along. Algorand is just not a great. It's not a great price action coin. It just isn't. I mean, you know, this was nice. This little candle up. Technically flashed to 60 cents, but realistically a solid candle at like just under 50 cents. You know, that's something. But yeah, it didn't last. And, you know, we've kind of been on a long, looking at the weekly chart, you know, we've been on a downtrend ever since then with a nice move up to 28 cents and then back down. So anyway, I think that kind of wraps up our Algorand segment, and we'll have HBAR next, but appreciate you guys tuning in for that. Look at Coca. That's crazy. What are we on, the year? Here's the daily chart. It at least makes it look positive, right? It's funny. It's the only one that it's the only one that's green. Anyway, I am going to get my water and then we're going to start our HBAR segment. So just give me a second. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Thanks for tuning. Thanks for hanging in there. And we got Hedera coming up next. Said to get a little water. Kind of forgot to, had my coffee out there, the rest of my coffee, but I didn't have the rest. So we will go on to Hedera next. So let me set up this segment. Just a reminder, we are live on YouTube, on X, on Kick, and Twitch. So make sure to give us comments on all those platforms. Actually got some comments on Twitch. That was kind of cool. Haven't had that in a while. So pretty neat there. And let's see. We just got to get to my bookmarks and... Algorand and Hedera are my two big crypto quantum coins that I think are just going to do great. So I always love to see partnerships that involve that. Now, I do think the quantum narrative is like a little oversold. I think we're a long ways out from that being a real threat, especially since once it's even active, there's going to be way bigger targets than crypto. I mean, if you look at the total market cap on crypto right now is under $3 trillion. There are single companies that are worth more than that. So there's going to be some much bigger targets, but I do think it's going to be important going forward. And so this new partnership with Hedera and WeCan is pretty exciting. This is from Marco H. Now, it drives me nuts that he puts ISO 20022 in his bio, but whatever. While markets focus on price, regulated institutions focus on something else entirely, identity, compliance, and audibility at scale. This is where WeCan and Hedera meet. Quick context, WeCan Group Swiss is a Swiss blockchain company building digital compliance infrastructure for banks, asset managers, and regulated enterprises. Their focus, KYC, KYB, identity audit trails that actually work in the real world. In December 2025, WeCan entered a strategic collaboration with Hedera. Not a pilot, it was an infrastructure decision. So WeCan is migrating its existing compliance network, Swiss Ledger, onto the public Hedera network. That is a shift from permission silos to a shared, verifiable trust layer. Why this matters, compliance today is fragmented. The institution rebuilds the same controls, audits, and identity checks in isolation. Shared infrastructure changes that. So security is not optional anymore. Together with Seals Q Corp, WeCan and Hedera positioned around post-quantum cryptography. That's a long, really, really long post, by the way. But basically, they're going to radically simplify their UX, and that's all going to be done through Hedera. So very cool to see. I think this is one of the better... You know, Hedera has just really focused on enterprise and it's paid off. Now, they did say that they had to also focus on users because you can't have one without the other. Enterprise clients actually care about how many users you have. So they did focus on retail a little bit more in 2025, or at least said they were going to. But from what we're seeing, enterprise is waking up now, and a lot of the partnerships are starting to come together for Hedera. I got some updates from our good friend Kimchi, friend of the channel, on ETF trading volume, HR ETF. 1.06 million, XRP is 65 million, Solana 90, Doge is actually 0.41 million, Link is 4.1, Litecoin 0.5, and AVAX 0.2. So Hedera doing better than Litecoin, AVAX, and Doge, but obviously some of the big ones like Link, Sol, and XRP are doing quite a bit better. I thought that was worth looking at. And this is trading volume in and outflow, so definitely a lot more trading going on in the majors, which you would probably expect, but you know, still pretty good considering. I think AVAX is higher in coin market cap. I think Doge is as well. Not sure about Link. I think Link is around there too. So, well, Link is actually doing better, but like even Litecoin. Litecoin's been around forever. It was one of the first coins I invested in back in 2017. So I thought that was worth mentioning, and not necessarily a big huge. Not a big, huge news item. And this I thought was interesting, too. This is from Token Nicer. Progress is smooth as ever on HBAR. Today, they've joined the OMFIF's Digital Money Institute. We'd seen relations with Hedera and OMFIF in the past through collaborative reports, but this addition to their DMI is bigger than most think. Hedera now sits at the same table as global leaders. That means central banks, institutions, payment giants, commercial banks, and fintechs are shaping the world of payments. Sound quite familiar to another institution Hedera is part of? I'm referring to none other than the Institute for International Finance. We can see that Hedera is now consistently sitting alongside global leaders in finance. And of course, it's not just sitting at the same tables, but we've seen Hedera used by leading institutions like Lloyds, Aberdeen, Bank of Finance, Bank of England, etc. We're finally seeing the hashgraph being recognized and included by financial giants. The alignments and positioning of Hedera is clear. And here's the official announcement, too, in case you miss it. As a member, Hedera joins DMI's global community of central banks, financial institutions, payment providers, banks, and tech firms who are shaping the critical policy discussions on central bank digital currencies and the future of money. Institutions and enterprises really love this coin. They really do. They love it. So I wanted to highlight this one, and we're not going to watch it because it's 2 hours long, but upcoming on Hashgraph Hustlers, and it's actually live now, Jake Hall and Michael Cantor discuss OpenClaw, formerly ClaudeBot. It was ClaudeBot, then MoltBot, then OpenClaw, an open source AI agent personal assistant gaining attention. So they're going to talk about the ways it could interact with the Hedera network. Now, we saw earlier in our Algorand segment that there's actually a kit for creating stuff with agents. I believe they called it Agent Kit, right? If I remember right. And so now they're talking about it too. It's being talked about on Hedera. And I'm telling you, the future of this is agentic payments. It's going to be these agents paying other agents in little micro amounts, and it has to be quick, it has to be small, it has to be fast, it has to be inexpensive, and stuff like Hedera, Algorand, these are going to be the chains that are going to do it. I know, Hedera, not a chain. Just for lack of collective, just for lack of a good collective word for them, but you know what I mean, but they're set up perfectly. I think Hedera's set up perfectly, and so is Algorand. And I think you're going to see that. Who knows? The agents might even find it on themselves. They're talking on they have their own Reddit called MoltBot. I know some of that is human generated, but a lot of it is agents talking to other agents in this portal. So I thought we might watch this. We got Rob Nodal, the director of Heat at Hashgraph, breaking down real-world adoption, Hashgraph's role in Project Acacia, and what sets Hedera apart for enterprise and public sector uses. Let's give a listen here.
So I'm Rob Allen. I've recently taken over a new role at Hashgraph, leading the Hedera Enterprise Adoption Team, or HEAT, which is focused on governing council projects.
So I'm going to speed it up because these things can be so slow and boring. And I know that that music is going to get me like demonetized. I'm going to have to go back, or not demonetized, but copyrighted, where they take the they try to take your revenue. So I'm going to have to like erase it later, but whatever.
So HEAT has been set up. It's almost like a professional services team for the Hedera council members, so that we help them with their projects from across. I coordinate across all of the ecosystem partners with a kind of singular focus to help council members build their solutions and take them to production. I've spent the last 2 years back with them, supporting their strategy for a Web3 future that AP Plus kind of participates in. And part of that was being invited to join the Reserve Bank of Australia's Project Acacia, which is has been a project focused on tokenization of financial markets this year. So Australian Payments Plus, being the infrastructure provider for Australia for all payments, had a very unique role to play within Project Acacia. We envisaged a world where stablecoins and tokenized deposits and tokenized money market funds proliferate. And the purpose of a payments scheme provider like AP Plus is there to support its members, so the banks that issue these new forms of digital money, and provide infrastructure to interchange, to support additional services, regulatory services for things like that. And those are what we have demonstrated through Project Acacia, both to other participants that are doing kind of financial markets, marketplace for tokenized assets, where we provide the payments part of delivery versus payment, or providing access to CBDCs for member organizations within AP Plus, or integrating our traditional and existing payment rails with these new forms of digital money. So we've got a faster payments system in Australia called MPP, and we've demonstrated how we can integrate stable coins with those traditional rails.
Do you ever notice these are just like... They gotta find ways to make these way more interesting. I fell asleep watching that, and it sucks because like this is what happens with stuff like Hedera. You know, it's not pump.fun, right? It's doing stuff in the real world, actually doing really interesting stuff, and you know, it's like really hard to sell. It's hard to make it exciting and sexy. You know, it's like sounds like a banker talking to a board of bankers, right? Like. It's one of the challenges of utility coins like Hedera or Algorand. It just can be really, really hard to present in a way that's really exciting. So I guess we'll just leave it at that. I know there's some stuff here, but maybe we'll watch a little bit more, but I don't know if we're going to get through this whole thing.
Hashsphere was announced at an ideal time for us. We had proposed a number of projects for Project Acacia. And there was an opportunity from the Reserve Bank of Australia to also demonstrate an integration with wholesale central bank digital currencies, CBDCs. But the Reserve Bank wanted these to be issued on private networks because regulated organizations, there is still a need in some use cases for private permissioned networks.
Remember how Silvio Macaulay said this very same thing because of... When he launched the fiat chain, he said this was the thing, like that there's a big need for private networks. Not every company wants their stuff, you know, on a public ledger. It kind of makes sense.
And this was the case for Project Acacia. If we wanted to use CBDCs, then we had to find a private network on which to issue. And some of the other participants take their own fork of something like Ethereum and, you know, stand up a temporary network to do that. We didn't have to do that because Hashsphere was announced. It's exactly the same tech stack as the public network that we were using for stablecoins and had to continue to use for stablecoins because that's where they will live. So we had to design a way of interoperating between the private network and the public network. But we didn't have to build and design and implement the private network ourselves because Hashgraph made it available to us. Regulated organizations aren't ready to go fully into public networks, and some never will be. The whole value proposition for Hashsphere is that there is a natural progression from Web 2 and, you know, cloud-based or even on-prem, very safe, very secure systems into what, you know, a fully public multi-blockchain Web3 space will be. So that transition between Web2 and Web3 will have a number of waypoints, and Hashsphere is very well positioned to do that, because there are use cases that will always be private and will always need a private network to support them. And there are some where that organization is just not comfortable going fully public yet, but they can maintain momentum and understand the use case better by going into a private network. And then there'll be hybrid models, like we've demonstrated, where some of the use cases will be in public network, some will be in private network, and the two will interoperate. And I think that's where we'll see a lot of certainly regulated sectors existing for some time. So I think Hashsphere gives us the additional tools in our toolbox to actually take these big, complex and meaningful use cases into these industries.
Yeah, I think that's key. I really think it is going to be a hybrid approach. And a lot of these companies just aren't going to, some of them are just never going to be, they're never going to want public, their stuff out in the public. And I think that was an important realization that Silvio Macaulay had by creating the fiat chain. And I think that's what these guys get too. So as much as we like to talk about, the blockchain being public and immutable and all that stuff, and it is immutable, but it's not necessarily what people want when it comes to, it's not what people want when it for industry. So if we're talking about adoption, which also I don't really think that's, I think the big opportunity is going to be in agentic payments. I really do. That's where I think Hedera and Algorand are really going to thrive. And especially, I think Hedera's set up for it well. They've been really on top of AI from day one with their studios. They made the stablecoin studio. Whenever they wanted to signal that they care about something, they create a studio around it, which is pretty cool. Anyway, I think that is all the Hedera news I have today. Otherwise, I can say it's like really recovering. In fact, why don't we make a switch here? I know we kind of already did our coin segment, but I did want to show 18% right now in the last 24 hours. That is quite a recovery. And you can get a look at it. This is the hour. Let's go to the day. Yeah, that's a big day. If we look at the week, this is a V-shaped recovery. Still down on the week by only 3%. That's actually really good. This is really, really climbing back up. It was around, wasn't around 9 cents. No, I guess it was. It wasn't. It was probably around here. So, been popping back up, and good to see. Good to see that turnaround, because I think a lot of people really hit them now. Is it going to be a dead cat bounce? We will see. We will definitely see. But and probably, if you're watching this on replay, I guess we'll already know, right? We'll know if I was right or not. But I think that was interesting. We're going to look at the cause of this next. So stay tuned for that. How's everyone doing out there? Everyone happy about the recovery? I'm going to switch back to... I got one more. Like I said, I do have one more thing, because I think this... I don't know how much impact this had, but it kind of makes sense, given the V-shaped recovery, that I think this... there's a good chance that this actually did have an impact. Let me go. Oh, I know what I got to go to. By the way, as I kind of talked about this earlier in the stream, but my X handle is now FrugalBC. So it's just at FrugalBC. Makes it way easier to find. Did I not save it? Maybe I didn't. Maybe I retweeted it. I thought I did. I think I did. So obviously we had this this crash with like almost a V-shaped recovery. I don't know if this is the thing that did it. So why don't we just take a look? CRA22 says dead cat. Could be. Let's look at this. This was shared by Kimchi. Tend to get a lot of Hedera news from him. South Korea's second largest centralized exchange BitThumb official accidentally credited 2,000 Bitcoin instead of 2,000 KRW in a promo event. I don't know what KRW is, by the way, but I guarantee it's not worth as much as Bitcoin. It probably is. A unit input error during a random box reward distribution reportedly sent out 1,000 to 2,000 Bitcoin to hundreds of user accounts. Some recipients immediately market sold the Bitcoin, causing a sharp price drop on BitThumb, at one point trading over 10% below other exchanges. That's a huge leg down, isn't it? That's a big arbitrage opportunity, because then you could just buy it and then sell it later. The exchange has since frozen affected accounts, and users report seeing balances worth hundreds of millions of dollars before the lockouts. As of now, no official statement has been released. So they're probably going to claw that back, I imagine. Here's the Korean source. Obviously, I cannot read Korean. I shouldn't say obviously. I do read Japanese to an extent. It's kind of one of my things. But yeah, I haven't read this, so I definitely don't read Korean. I learned a little bit of Korean a while ago, and I know very little. I thought this was pretty interesting, though. I wonder what they're saying about it. Let's take a look. Hello, your safe financial partner, BitThumb. Last year, I don't know if they're actually talking about it. Hello, your safe financial partner, BitThumb. We transparently disclose the financial reports of BitThumb. And they just said that twice. I guess maybe it makes sense in Korean, huh? Not much. They don't seem to be talking about it on there, so I think that's kind of a little weird, but okay. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. It might actually kind of explain the crash a little bit. I think it's interesting too. I am getting way less views on X than I used to. On my live streams, I used to get like in the hundreds. It would grow. It would tend to grow to at least over 100. Not so much anymore, which is interesting. While we're at it, I just kind of wonder what else is going on in the, I guess, oops, that is not it. Oops. Nope. So we just look at the front page for crypto news before we go. Let's see what's interesting. Yeah, here's the BitThumb news. I wonder if they say a little more. Cray says it'd be nice if we go to 75K. Oh, I'm sure we'll get back there. But, you know, I just care about, like, are we making more? Are we making less? You know, once it's down, I just buy more. And when it's up, I just leave it alone. South Korea-based crypto exchange said accidentally sent excess of Bitcoin. Let's see. They did not. Oh, come on. BitThumb did not disclose how much Bitcoin was mistakenly sent or the number of accounts affected, which that would be something nice to know. According to local reports, the incident was related to a random box giveaway where the exchange planned to distribute up to 50,000 Korean won to winners. So it was won. So it makes you believe. Some of the recipients who were supposed to receive 2,000 Korean won, which is about $1.36. Got 2,000 Bitcoin, which is what, 139.4 million instead. Imagine being someone just had a really bad day at work, by the way. Someone went, oh God. I guarantee whoever was responsible for this is like, wishes they could go jump in a hole right now and just disappear. I guarantee it. That is rough. So the Bitcoin Korean won trading pair crashed about 15% on BitThumb. So if you saw that, that was a chance to like really buy, and you would make an instant 15%. Now your account, if you weren't one of the ones that got the coin, your account probably wasn't frozen. So you just made like, you know, you could just make 15% in a matter of seconds. Well, maybe not seconds, whenever it repegs back to the correct amount, or you could launch it off, into a crypto wallet and exchange it on a different one. You don't see that very often. Given the massive scale of damage, we are treating this incident seriously and will thoroughly investigate the cause, the Financial Services Commission and Financial Supervisory Service reportedly said. So not a lot of extra news about this, but I thought it was interesting anyway. Is there like a top news? I just want to look and see if there's anything interesting. Strategy saying it's better positioned than ever to weather the Bitcoin crash and benefit from the recovery, according to TD Cowen. So right now, Strategy is underwater on its Bitcoin position, which is kind of interesting. I guess not really surprising, but I see a lot of like people dunking on Michael for that, on Michael Saylor for that. But obviously, if you're going to build a Bitcoin reserve, you expect it to go down at some point. Like, you know how Bitcoin works, that it's still fairly volatile. It's less volatile than some tech stocks right now, but still pretty volatile. So, and actually, I'm kind of curious. You know what I'm actually kind of curious about before we go here? How's the S&P doing? Because that crashed a lot too. No, I hit the wrong thing, but whatever. Yeah, that's been popping back up now today after obviously falling. If you look at the 5-day, yeah, we had this big dip and now it's starting to pop back up. Still not where it was. I mean, we're just under 7,000. So it's heading in that direction, but got a little ways to go. Oops. Sorry about that. We'll put that up there. Otherwise, yeah, Dow Jones is up. NASDAQ is up. Russell 2000 is up. This is interesting. Russell 2000 is smaller cap stocks, and they have been outperforming the S&P. So if we go year-to-date on here, yeah, just 0.76% year-to-date for the S&P 500, while the Russell is up quite a bit more. In fact, why don't we take a look? That's today. Year-to-date, it's actually 6%. So that's kind of interesting. Interesting rotation. Well, I guess that's our broader crypto news for today. Not sure I have much more for you, and not a lot. Chatter's been really quiet lately. Every day I said something about, it was someone in 2012 asking for the best people in crypto business, and he was mentioned. Who are you talking about? Was it the guy I was showing on screen? Stream might be. I think that's all I got today. So appreciate everyone tuning in. And like I said, we got a podcast, so definitely check out the podcast. It's enough. You know, feel free to leave it a 4 or 5 star review as well. That really helps show it. It's getting some attention. Who knows if this will, it's something I'm experimenting with as potentially another revenue source. And frankly, you know, I think it's cool to be able to have it and walk around with it. So if you want to listen to this while you're out walking or jogging or doing whatever you do, you know, that's an option for you. So Silvio in the Epstein files. Oh, okay. That message didn't come through. I wonder if maybe all of them aren't coming through. That's interesting. No, I still don't see it. I don't see anything about Silvio and the Epstein files. Well, that's fine, I guess. Okay. Well, like I said, thanks for tuning in. If you can still hit the like button. You can still subscribe to the channel if you want. Always appreciate that. It's always fun to have new subscribers. You can see all our videos, and we do have channel memberships. You can see my portfolio review, my portfolio, bull run portfolio. We go through it, see how it's doing, and I share the blow by blow of all my crypto experiments, some which eventually become main videos on the channel. But otherwise, I think that's all I got. So thanks everyone for tuning in. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for liking the video. And, you know, hopefully the recovery will keep recovering. So otherwise, I'm Frugal.